Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to worship here this morning. I'll be preaching on our gospel reading for today from Mark, when Jesus heals the man possessed by a demon. And just a couple of quick announcements. Just a reminder that next Saturday is the Trivia Night, the fundraiser for the Rueful Evans Trivia Night. Bring your own food, form a team. It'll be a great evening and a lot of fun for everybody there. Also, if you noticed when you walked in from that way, you would have saw all of the 7th grade science fair projects. This past week was National Lutheran Schools Week, and the 7th graders presented their science fair projects, and we left them up so everybody can look and see what the 7th graders studied for their science fair projects this year. And so I invite you to stand as we begin with our opening hymn.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us into everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
We pray our collect today responsibly. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright.
Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning. I'm Wayne Colwire. The first reading is from Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 20. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up.
But love builds up.
If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know.
But if anyone loves God, he is known by God.
Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist.
However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God.
We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do.
But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ.
Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. Also read responsively according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying,
"What is this? A new teaching?
And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region in Galilee. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven
Please be seated.
My family was like many good Lutheran families, as we would sit towards the back of the sanctuary, usually about three-fourths of the way back on the pulpit side. And it was sometime during second grade when something wasn't quite as clear as it normally was in the sanctuary. And no, it wasn't the pastor's sermons, but it was something that was right next to the pulpit and right next to the lectern. The thing that was unclear was the hymn boards. I wasn't able to read them as clear as I used to. And with that, the next thing I know, an eye doctor appointment was being made. And it was glasses for me. And over the years, that was kind of my litmus test if I needed a stronger prescription. Looking and seeing, is the hymn board clear or is it a little fuzzy? Maybe that's why I'm a pastor, since I'm using hymn boards to see if I need to go to the eye doctor or not. I mean, I don't know how many people do that, but that was always the way to figure out if I needed stronger prescription. And over the years, my eyes got worse and worse, and thankfully, I can wear contacts or glasses, but I know when I go to the eye doctor, he tells me that there's a big E at the end of the wall. I don't see that big E, so I don't know if it really exists, or he puts all the different little lenses in, and then I finally can see the big E. The clock next to my bed, I have the biggest numbers I can find on a clock, and they're still fuzzy when I wake up in the middle of the night. I still got to squint, move a little bit closer, and then I can kind of tell what time it is. And if you put a Greek New Testament, Hebrew Old Testament, or an English Bible all in front of me, they all look the same language, unless they're a foot away from my face. But once my contacts or glasses are in or on, everything comes into focus. Now I have clarity with everything in front of my face. Those of you who have glasses or contacts know the difference that those various aids make in your life. For me, I know it makes a world of difference. It takes something that could be a burden, a struggle, seeing things, even functioning properly, takes them all away. Things aren't fuzzy. They're clear because of my glasses or contacts. Clarity is something all people are always looking for. We want a clear picture to fully understand things. That's especially true when it comes to our faith or what we know about Christ. And there are some things that people are unclear or confused about when it comes to their faith and to Jesus. This isn't something that is new. This has been going on since the beginning of time. When we look at our gospel reading for today, we read about Jesus healing a man possessed. In other words, Jesus was healing a man with a demon inside of him. Even after Jesus spoke and the demon left that man, people were still confused at who he truly was. They recognized that he had great power, but they didn't know who he truly was and what his purpose was. They saw that power, but didn't know his identity. And they were just merely interested in him because of his miraculous healing power. And when you look around the world today, there are still questions about who Jesus was and who Jesus is today. In 2015, the Barna Group did some research, and they came back with a report with 5 popular beliefs concerning Jesus. And I'm guessing that all of us will agree with at least the first one, but majority, if not all, will disagree with the remaining views that are said. The first one is Jesus was a real person. I don't think we're going to have any arguments about that. We all know Jesus was a real person. But here's where we start to get into the ones that I would assume we'd all disagree with. Maybe some people struggle with these. Number 2 was that the younger generation is increasingly more likely to believe that Jesus wasn't God. So their report said that 48% of millennials, so people born 1981 through about 2000, 48% of millennials believe Jesus was God. So that means 52% of millennials don't believe Jesus was God. And they didn't talk about the youngest generation, Generation Z, which are people born between like 2000 till the last couple of years. I can't imagine what their view is if we're more and more people are believing that Jesus wasn't God. And to me, that is heartbreaking because that is one of the foundations of our faith, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is God. And it's just heartbreaking to hear that. And it makes you wonder. A third belief, and this one I can't wrap my head around either, is that Jesus was sinless. The idea that Jesus was sinless is a divided thing. Not everybody believes that Jesus was sinless. And us as Lutherans, as Christians, I don't know how we can justify saying Jesus wasn't sinless. Because if he wasn't sinless, if he committed one sin, his death on the cross would be meaningless. He wasn't that unblemished Lamb of God. He wouldn't have been perfect. His death would have been pointless. It's sad to see that our country is divided on that idea if Jesus was sinless or not. The fourth belief is that most Americans have made a commitment to Jesus. Really don't know what else to say about that one. But if he goes back to that third one, that if you're committed to Jesus, yet you believe that he committed some sins or even one sin, it's a conflict that I don't see how one can justify one without the other. And the final one is that people are conflicted as well if we are saved because of Jesus or because of our good works? We know as we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation just a few months ago that when Luther translated the Bible, he realized the truth that was in there, that we're saved by faith, but not by works. Yet people still struggle with that. And I think it makes sense because we want to be in control of our own destiny, saying, you know what, I did this, so this is what's getting me into heaven. But when we say, my works get me into heaven, we're saying, Jesus, your death didn't do it all. I need to finish what you couldn't do. So after hearing those five popular beliefs about Christ, how does that make you feel? To me, it makes me worry about the future and scared of what other beliefs about Jesus will come through forth. But this is the reality of the world around us. And like I said, maybe some of you here, those watching online, might be struggling with those same things, that clear definition of who Jesus was, because you're just unsure. And what this tells me, based on these popular beliefs, is that people are looking for clarity. You know, three of those things were about divided. It just said we're divided. One was almost at 50-50. There's no clarity for people. And what we need to do is help people see clearly who Christ is. Put on those glasses to help people so everything can come into focus and make everything clear. And our gospel reading for today can help. If you remember, Jesus healed that man that was possessed by a demon. And I think that is a key point to point out, that he was possessed by a demon. And while still being possessed, he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." This demon recognized who Jesus was. The title Holy One of God, some people say, is another way of saying Son of God. This demon knew Jesus' true identity. And this intrigues me, because how many times do the disciples or those following Jesus not fully understand who Jesus was? They might have had an idea. Peter said, "You are the Christ." He recognized at times, but they didn't fully understand his mission and why he came. When Jesus said, "Well, I'm going to have to die," they're like, "No, you won't. We don't want that to happen." They didn't understand his identity and his purpose. But the demons, they always knew Jesus' true identity. And it's just not here in the Gospel of Mark where that happened. In Matthew's Gospel, he writes about the two men possessed by demons, and those demons were cast into the herd of pigs. While they were possessed, they called Jesus Son of God. Luke's Gospel shares one pretty similar to our Gospel from Mark. Jesus is healing many, and in Luke 4 it says, "And demons also came out of many, crying, 'You are the Son of God.' But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ." Once again, demons proclaiming who Christ was and is. And I think that is a huge deal, that those demons, their power, their testimony is powerful, because they have that connection to the devil. They are his underlings, so to speak, and they knew who he was. So if those working for the devil know who Jesus is, I think that clarifies just exactly who he is. And I don't think they would have been so afraid. You can see that they were afraid of Christ, but they were also respecting of Christ's power. Their questioning, saying, "What are you going to do to us?" is saying that they were expecting punishment from Christ. And they knew his power, and we see his power because he just spoke and those demons came out of the people they possessed. And when we look through the lens of Scripture, that true word of God, we can see that Jesus is the Son of God. The demons possessed profess that before they were unceremoniously removed from the people they were possessing. And Scripture continues to give clarity to who Jesus was. As we read through Scripture, we see, even at his baptism, God proclaims, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We have come. We have this clarity because of what we know in Scripture. But probably each one of us knows somebody that isn't fully clear on who God or Christ or the Holy Spirit is. And this lack of clarity can be a stumbling block for us. As we heard in the epistle to the Corinthians, Paul was talking to them about eating foods that was offered up to the idols. He said, there's nothing morally wrong about that. But maybe somebody will see you do that, and that will cause them to stumble in their faith. And we do not want to cause our brother or our sister to stumble in their faith. And that's important for us to remember as we witness to those around us, that we don't want to create more stumbling blocks for them when it comes to their faith. As you can heard earlier, we are already facing an uphill battle at times about what people believe about Christ based on that report from the Barna Group, but we don't need to add to that. So God is calling us to be patient with others when we share the gospel, and we try to understand where they're at in their journey of faith. And as we understand that, it helps us to help them find clarity of who Christ really is. In chapel this past week, our third graders led our chapel service. And if you look in the announcements, you'll see some pictures from that as they were dressed up like superheroes. Most of them were on this side. There's two right over there. And then there's a few more behind them. The two over there were like the teachers of this class. And as they were going, they were giving the superhero kids a test to see if they were ready to be superheroes. One person came up, and I think they said, "I need help." And the superhero's like, "I can help you. These are my superhero powers." And they said, "Well, I need help getting, I think, like my cat down from a tree." Next one came up. It was a child dressed like a mom in an apron saying, "I need help." And the kids all said, "Well, here's my powers." And one said, "I'll help you." And then it was, "Well, I need help setting the table and doing the dishes." And the kids were like, oh, weren't too excited about that one. And there's a couple more. And finally, they got to one last student. And he came up and was like, "I need help reading and understanding the scriptures." All the students over here, the superheroes, were like, "My superhero powers don't help. I can't do anything to share with that." Until finally somebody said, "I can help. I can share, and I can help you understand what is written in the scriptures." And with that, their point was, the greatest thing we can do for a person is to help them understand the scriptures and share with them the message of Christ. And we ask for God's help as we witness to other people. And we all know those people that need explanations and a little bit more clarity. So who in your life needs help in seeing clearly who Jesus was and is today? We know that answer. We know that he is the Son of God. He was the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Old Testament about the coming Savior. His words are powerful. He spoke and demons left the men that they possessed. And as powerful as those words are, it doesn't even compare to the actions of Christ on the cross. There he took each one of our places and received the punishment for our sins. And his action gives us life. And instead of just keeping that to ourselves, we share that good news. We go to the mountaintops and we proclaim Christ crucified for all people. And it's because of that we have the gift of eternal life. And it's not because of what we did. It's all because of what Christ has done. And as we do that, we help people who struggle with the idea of salvation. And we help by removing whatever stumbling blocks they may have when it comes to their faith.
And most importantly, we can remind them of the words of John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when we do that, we put on those glasses that helps give us clarity when it comes to our faith in Christ. But we have to also remember that we share those glasses with others to help them see clearly who Christ is. Amen.
Our prayers today will be spoken and sung, as you'll see indicated in our worship bulletin today, so please follow along as appropriate. And as we pray, let us pray for all people in various needs, for the church wherever it is planted, and for ourselves gathered here in worship. We pray. Lord of the church, whose word is power at work for all who call out to you in faith, guide and protect clergy and lay leaders here and around the world. Give them compassionate hearts, clear minds, appropriate words, and the wisdom to use them so that the church grows stronger in faith and closer to you and one another in love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, giver of life and health and peace, open our hearts and minds to share your bounty with one another, among our neighbors, and through the agencies of the church and government, with any people in need. Raise up leaders in our nation and around the world so that poverty and hunger will be lessened and health and human dignity increased. Protect and guide all who order society across the globe, and give patience and resolve to forces deployed for peace across national borders. Lord, in your mercy. Spirit, who bestows precious gifts throughout the church, open the eyes of your people to see avenues of peace and reconciliation, paths of concord and joy. We remember our brothers and sisters who call out to you for healing of all sorts, including Evelyn, Vernette, Katie, Don, Vernette, Dolores, Vern. Use the talents you have placed in counselors, health care workers, medical personnel, first responders, and all who are called to work as your instruments of care. Grant peace, health, and comfort according to your gracious plans. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you. Heavenly Father, our refuge and strong tower, this week you called home Eberhard Fuhr. You always gave him strength in his life, no matter what the circumstances were. Please continue to give that same strength to his children, along with all others who mourn his loss. And also, yesterday you called John Malding home to you in heaven. We know how you were his refuge and strength. Be that for Wendy and the rest of his family and friends during this time. Remind all those who mourn of your son's victory over death, and that because of that, all who believe will have eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, giver of life and health and peace, we thank you for all those who are celebrating a birthday this week. Continue to look upon them and give them blessings. Today we especially remember Jack, Amy, Jackie, Gabrielle, John, Betty, Howard, Sydney, Mary, Fred, Alexis, and Gavin. Lord, in your mercy.
You are heard.
Although we in no way deserve your gracious hearing of these our petitions, Lord, grant them for the sake of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, who has promised that we ask in his name will be heard at your throne of grace. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We will now collect our offerings for the mission and ministry of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School.
Evermore and evermore.
Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of your mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.